Scott is here. What's our capacity with our current seating, 54?
53,000 currently.
53,000 currently, and one of the decisions that will need to be made is whether there's the interest and the possibility to add some temporary bleachers to supplement that by a few thousand.
Okay, so it's not going to be a significant increase then?
I think a few thousand is significant, but it won't get up to 64,000.
Question, does the one meet that game for season, is that similar to having Monday Night Football? How does that impact?
There is the possibility to have one weeknight, but it would need to be when it does not inconvenience the University of Minnesota, so it would need to be either when classes are not scheduled because of a holiday or because it's between the Christmas break and New Year's break.
So we don't always how that impacts the schedule on Monday and Thursday.
I think it will be up to the NFL and Minnesota Vikings to work with the NFL to see if that can be accommodated within the NFL schedule.
Yeah, so, and again, I think the biggest thing to get across is that we're going to have to work in a collaborative manner with the university and the NFL. And they do have Monday night football. We do have Thursday night football. And then now they have Sunday day football and then Sunday night football. So, and if you look at our schedule over the last couple of years, again, that affords us an opportunity to still have a either a Monday night or a Thursday night game during the season. And again, one good thing about it, and I said I'm so grateful to work with Mark and Pam and Beth and everyone on here, and for Pam to be here to work with her, is that when you get two parties together, that we know that we're going to have to put our heads together, and we will put our heads together, and we'll do what's right, not only for the University of Minnesota and the fans and the surrounding neighborhoods and the Vikings and the NFL, so it can be a win-win-win.
Run down the costs that you talked about, a fee above the expenses. Can you sort of give us break that down for us?
Question for us?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the probably the easiest way to put it in context is that we have agreed to cover our expenses for renting or leasing their stadium. So they should be not out of any money for us playing there. Then our rent is $250,000 per game. And then an additional $50,000 that will cover any ancillary sponsorship, concessions, whatever you want to call it. So $300,000 per game, you know, on average. So if you end up playing 10 games here, then it's $3 million. So, but again, there are other costs that are associated, just like have at any other stadium, whether that's snow and ice removal or security or whatever the case may be. So that makes it very, very a simple deal, in addition to improvements that we will have to make to be able to play there.
We presently employ about 2,000 people on game day at the Metrodome, so, and I'm sure the numbers are close at TCF Bank Stadium. So it's to produce an NFL football game is a lot of staff, security, ushering, concessions, and vendors, and so there's that component and that element too.
Are you intending that you'd have to add a lot of different concessions for the Vikings because obviously
food services
are different?
For Kevin on that.
I would just say we obviously are constrained by the physical space of TCF. It will not provide as many points of sale as a professional stadium. So we are looking at, and we'll develop and refine a plan for some additional points of sale through some temporary portable structures, some kiosks in various locations. That specific location hasn't been identified yet, but we've agreed on a mechanism to look at that jointly and see where we can add some points of sale for fan experience.
What about points of sale for the wine and the beer? Is it only going to be a one-end as it is now for college games, or will it be spread through the stadium?
The current practice for Gopher games is not a model that needs to be replicated for the NFL, for the Minnesota Vikings, and so we'll be looking at some distributed points of sale across the whole facility.
And we want to be, again, we just want to be very sensitive to the fan experience and to make sure that we provide fans with an opportunity to enjoy football. And again, we're all very positive people sitting up here, and so we want to make sure that it gives people a chance to feel outdoor football. And I think there will be some days here that people will really have some wonderful memories here to be able to sit outside on a nice fall day, and which we haven't been able to do because we've been at the dome. Or they'll have some also other memories to remember some very cold days here, and hopefully they'll have even some more memories that we win some playoff games here at home. And so we're just excited about being here on the campus of the University of Minnesota.
I should say about the alcohol question that you asked, the restrictions about service in the end of the horseshoe do not apply, as Pam said, to the Vikings. There's going to be a separate resolution that the Board of Regents is going to hear tomorrow morning that deals with alcohol, and that resolution will allow for the service and sale of alcohol throughout the stadium, and that's subject to the board's approval tomorrow. So you'll hear more about that, but the key point is that the legislation that we have that's in place right now for Gopher athletics and for university activities that limits alcohol and restricts alcohol and so on, number one, that legislation will expire before the Vikings play their first game, and so nobody knows what the legal situation will be when the Vikings are here with respect to the Gophers alcohol sales and service. That's number one. And number two, that legislation, those restrictions are not applicable to the Vikings. The Regents are going to separately decide about alcohol sales and service tomorrow morning.
Well, would it be the intention to have the concession stands altered physically so they can accommodate, for instance, beers to pick stuff on them?
Yeah, TAP's issue is for Pam to decide with the Vikings.
Yeah, we have looked at that. That would be a considerable expense to make the improvements necessary, and I think there's a return on investment calculation that you have to do about for a couple of seasons. Is it necessary? Is it cost effective? And is it the best way to improve the fan experience given some of the constraints that are already existing in the concession stands and the concourses? So that will be something that we continue to work on. Obviously, it wasn't our intention to get every single operational issue nailed down for play that will occur in 2014 and 15, but to get the construct in place about how we're going to work together to more specifically address and answer some of those questions. So how we actually make some accommodations through some portables or some temporary kiosk space for both concessions and any beverages is something that has yet to be nailed down.
That's something that we will work closely with the university to figure out what's the best thing to do. One fortunate thing that occurred is that our current vendor at the Metrodome is Aramark, and Aramark is also the current vendor at the University of Minnesota. So because of that, it afforded us an opportunity to be dealing with one company to deal with all of these issues as far as food and concession and quality of food and the whole alcohol issue. So that's one area that has really been very beneficial from that standpoint.
Challenging was it to navigate the Coke Pepsi situation and arrive at the deal that you had come.
One good thing about it, when you have smart people on the side of the university, I think they understood that, you know, this is kind of bigger than the Minnesota Vikings. You know, one, Pepsi being a great partner of ours, but then from a NFL standpoint, the whole Gatorade relationship. And so you can imagine if we had to go to the league and say no Gatorade on the sideline, no Gatorade towels, and it complicates matter. But thankfully the league was very helpful. Coke was very helpful, and the university was very helpful in us facilitating dialogue between the Vikings and Coke for us to kind of work through it. And then Pepsi was very helpful, and so I think it's a win-win, and it'll be kind of cool to see both parties kind of in the same building in a respectful manner.
Can you explain what the Gophers policy is at the moment regarding Gatorade on the sideline? That it's not allowed.
Gatorade is, at least as I last understood it, is not a Coca-Cola product, and so we have an exclusive arrangement, a very lengthy agreement with Coca-Cola that goes on for many years, and that allows for Coke products exclusively to be sold at the University of Minnesota. So that would preclude, unless other steps were taken, which they have, it would preclude Gatorade products from being served or shown in the stadium on Gopher game days.
So it's been a year since the letter of intent was approved. Can you name the top one or two issues that took the longest to hammer out?
was to get Kevin to nail down when he would show up for meetings. Because Kevin's a busy guy.
I think the reality is, you know, this is an evolution, and I'm sure particularly as the Vikings in the intervening period of time have spent more time talking about the design and operations of what will ultimately be their permanent home, some of the details of some of these issues became more transparent. And so as we work through how are we thinking that the space will be used, how does the space then need to be staffed, what improvements do or don't need to be made, I don't know that there were any one or two. I would say there were a couple that just over a period of time, or a handful, became more complex. And I think what we jointly realized is, you know, we can continue to figure out more specific resolutions to some of the questions that you've even asked here today, or we could say, here are the parameters that we're going to use to answer those questions at more length or in more detail. So let's put that process into the lease agreement and continue to work those through as we get closer to starting to play next year. So some of those will be continue to sort out, like, what exact improvements do we need to be made? Where will the concession stands be in the building? Those kinds of things will work out as we go forward.
I think one of the most creative ones, which Lester Bagley can talk about, is the relationship that we develop with the neighbors. I think that's one of the ones that was very creative. And
yeah, I talk about that briefly. Just the, you know, we, as all three of these folks have acknowledged, this has been a long, you know, climb to get to today. It's a very complicated agreement. One of the elements is the neighborhood agreement, and we started meeting a year ago with the neighborhood groups and negotiated and discussed what's the best way for the Vikings to be good neighbors and ensure that we leave a lasting impression in a positive way. So what was done and what was spelled out in the committee meeting was the $90,000 in cash, but the $35,000 in in-kind contribution. And the in-kind contribution is important, as Mr. Warren pointed to. It's important for us to leave an impact. But the things that are included in that in-kind contribution are, we intend to have a volunteer network similar to what they have downtown Minneapolis, the Downtown Improvement District, where they have folks that are walking around and kind of telling people where to go, how, you know, to ensure that we are good neighbors. We have a very extensive communications system and network for our fan base. We have just in April we had 10 million page views on our Vikings website, Vikings.com. We have 140,000 plus Twitter followers. We have 1.4 million Facebook followers, and we have a database, an email database, including all of our ticket owners, of more than 80,000 Viking fans and supporters. So we have an ability to communicate, you know, traffic, parking, messages about being good neighbors, having the volunteers. We also have opportunities to help on the marketing side. If there are neighborhood groups, business organizations, we have a coupon book program, we have publications, we can highlight various neighborhood groups, businesses, or other organizations that have specific messages they want to deliver. We can work with them through our communications network to deliver messages. But the bottom line is to be good neighbors. We think it's a fair and hard-fought agreement on both sides, globally as well as the neighborhood agreement, and we look forward to being good partners, as we've all said.
That money for the neighborhood agreement, you know what that's going to be used for? Is something designated?
It will really go into the fund that the University of Minnesota has already established for similar types of improvements when the TCF stadium was built, and it's a process that the neighbors will use themselves to determine what those projects and priorities will be, in consultation with the Vikings, so that we can really think about whether there are opportunities for them to involve the Vikings, involve Viking players as well. But it's a collaboration of neighborhood groups that need to determine that.
What kind of improvements could those be? What kind of improvements have you been up to this? What are you talking about here?
Well, I think there's a range of kind of neighborhood beautification projects, some physical improvements, as the Vikings were talking about playground space, trees in the neighborhood, so there are a range of projects. It's really unlimited possibilities, depending on what any particular neighborhood determines as a priority.
And we've talked about, as part of the Viking contribution, the in-kind side of it, as Ms. Wheelock just mentioned, the playground build, something we do annually. Our whole, entire organization with our, from our coaches and players on down, comes and helps build a playground in an area of need, and there are a number of areas around the university that would make sense there. We also have a tree planting program so those are things that we would like to work with the neighborhood and the university to bring forward, and those will start to look into those and work together to develop those programs here in the short term.
Well, we'll spend some time over the coming months talking about, you know, what are the alternative strategies for improving the conditions of the field for winter play, and then make some determination about how to get that in place before the fall of 2014. So both what it is that we need to do and then get that delivered have yet to be determined, but it needs to be in place by the fall of 2014. We actually have a short window where the facility is actually available for field improvements, and so it will, like, whatever the agreed upon method is, will likely be installed in June and early July of next year. Correct. Yeah.
Well, man, there's a lot of new technology from a field heating standpoint, and so we'll work with the university to evaluate what works best and try to benefit from all the technological advances in doing that, because again, we have very expensive players on the field. We want to make sure we keep them safe and keep the environment safe. And I think it also will be helpful now that the stadium will be used. It won't be, quote unquote, you know, winterizing like it was when we played the Bears. It just sat there dormant for a couple months and trying to get that ready, that it will be more activity because we'll be playing games.
And on that note, how invaluable was that one game played there?
You know,
crafting this agreement, knowing what we need to do.
You know how all of our parents always told us growing up, everything happens for a reason, and it doesn't make sense. This is one of those ones that, and I hate to say that, but that one experience was incredibly beneficial for us, one, from a working relationship, and two, from a logistics. So we knew going into this what were the issues, and plus it was a perfect storm, no pun intended, with the, you know, the snow and the parking and a short notice, you know, concessions, all of these issues. And so in the knowledge base was very beneficial for us to be able to kind of plan ahead and look ahead, because if we had not had that, I really don't know how we could have crafted an agreement to probably touch all these points, especially for a 2-year period. It would have been very difficult.
Yes.
And just one last comment I wanted to make about the working relationship and the agreement that TCF Bank Stadium is a tremendous college football stadium. It's outstanding, but it's not an NFL stadium, and that is a challenge, and there are going to be limitations. There will be challenges ongoing for our fans, for the Vikings, for the university, but the relationship that's been built and going forward in partnership is comforting, and we're just very grateful, again, to the university for their allowing us to play 2 seasons at their beautiful stadium, and we promise to be good partners and good neighbors, and so we look forward to now working on making that happen.
Mr. Bagley, there's no agreement presently about whether or not to add additional seating to the stadium.
We're going to spend some more time on that with the Vikings. There are provisions in the lease agreement that should the Vikings want to explore the addition of some additional bleachers, there's a time frame for looking at that question. One of the challenges is the space is currently used during Gopher games for the beer garden area, and so we would need to kind of work through that issue about if we continue to use it for that purpose, then the bleachers would need to be removed in between the games and stored and put back up, and so is there, you know, some cost benefit for really doing that, or will the use of that physical space change before 2014? So we need to spend some more time looking at that.
We have time for maybe one more.
I just want to add, you think about whether there's one more question. When we talk about, you know, what was the biggest issue, I don't think it's the issues between the LOI being signed and today. I think it's the issues really moving forward. I think our our shared interest is really in trying to have an optimal schedule that minimizes the conflicts between other events in the sports facilities at the University of Minnesota in that area, Gopher games and the Vikings games, and then just, you know, the day-to-day operational challenges of managing traffic and fan expectations, who are used to a bigger facility with different amenities. And so it really is a partnership, and what we really jointly realized is, you know, you can have an agreement, but unless you have a shared interest in making sure this works for everybody, that's your biggest asset moving forward. And on behalf of the University of Minnesota, and with the strong support of many who are not in the room here today, we're looking forward to this partnership and hosting a premier team here at Minnesota.
We'll see everybody Monday night at the design unveiling at the Guthrie at 7 o'clock.
If you can give, oh, they don't need tickets.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a copy.